on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Born and Raised. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
A very pleasant good evening to you. Yes, the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And today we got a nice crowd here. All kinds of sports going on. There's baseball here, football here, there's soccer, playoff baseball. Dodgers win, Red Sox are up early. And look, it's a beautiful night. Coach Tony Sanchez, how you doing?
Doing good, getting closer and closer to game day.
Absolutely. Caleb Herring is with us.
I am here, enjoying the atmosphere as well, enjoying the Dodger win today. That was a great game after a great game last night. Go Blue. So, you know, that's always exciting. But like Coach said, a quick week. Game day is coming right around the corner.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. We're excited about that. And, you know, obviously we've had a tough couple weeks in a row, and, you know, it's time for us to bounce back and go out there and play a solid football game.
We'll go over some of the elements of the Utah State game. But first of all, Coach, short week. How does that – is that – can that be beneficial in some ways?
It can. I mean, I think, you know, when you're kind of going through the, you know, these last couple of weeks that we have, you know, getting back out there and just getting right back in the fray is a good thing. A little tougher on the defense considering, you know, they're facing the triple option. You know, that extra day of prep, could that help? Yeah, probably could. But you know what? Guys have handled it really well. They've come in. They've been focused. The attitudes have been really, really good. So really proud of the guys for coming in and having the right demeanor to go back to work.
So you talked about earlier throughout the year that you had any time you did have extra time that you would get ready thinking about Air Force. Was that because it was a short week, or is that just something that you would do on a normal season anyway?
Well, normally you do, like in spring, you would do it a little bit. You know, you do it a little bit in camp, and then during the bye week, we did one. You know, anytime you have option, you know, and last year we were really getting ready for two teams because New Mexico is more of a triple team plus Air Force. This year, you know, New Mexico not so much. But it was spring, we were a little hard-pressed because we're putting in a new defense, so we didn't take that time, but we did in camp, and we did during the bye week. So you get a little ahead of the curve, just, you know, hey, who's got dive, you got QB, who's got pitch, you know, you got to give them a couple different looks. You can't sit in one shell the entire game, otherwise they'll adjust and get after you.
Oh, one thing that was very noticeable out of the starting gate, we'll go over some of the elements of the game. Unlike the New Mexico game, the team seemed to come out with a whole lot of better energy at the outset.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they played with good energy the entire game. You know, now execution, we can talk about that. But as far as the energy and the physicality, the guys went out and they played hard, you know, and now that was something that we had called them out on a little bit, you know, the week before. And, you know, as a coach, you don't ever want to talk about effort. I mean, you just assume the guys are going to bring it. You know, I mean, obviously you got to motivate your guys, but that's on you individually as a player, as a coach, everybody in the organization to come out to be fired up and ready to go. So it was good to see them come out offensively, defensively, you know, get a stop, you know, move the ball a little bit, flip the field, you know, get another stop, go down and score. You know, it was a good back and forth game up until right at the end of the first quarter.
So there was speaking of energy, you brought some energy too on the sideline. There was this play, I don't know if it was the first or the second drive, where Lex Thomas got to the sideline, and there was a one guy pinned him on the sideline. He made a decision, you know, I'm gonna step out or I'm gonna go at him. He put the foot in the ground and delivered a blow out there, and you were fired up on the sideline.
Yeah, you know what? Because, you know, I love Lex, and, you know, he's one of our great players, one of our great Rebels of all time. And, you know, the week before, I told him, hey, I thought it was a little soft, and he took it personal, and I loved it, man. Instead of going out of bounds, he plants his foot, puts his shoulder pad right into the other guy's and drives it for 5 or 6 yards. I mean, that's winning football. That's good, good football and a set of tone, and, yeah, that stuff excites me.
All right, you mentioned Lex. How is he physically?
He's good. He's fully cleared. So, you know, he had a good Monday. You know, we didn't do much. Just it was more mental stuff. You know, wore the yellow jersey, didn't wear shoulder pads, and just did some of the walkthrough reps, held him out. And then Tuesday, he got some of the individual stuff, which was good. Today was a walkthrough, and at the end of the day, they fully cleared him.
It's important, obviously, to have him every game, but especially, I would think, against a team like Air Force.
You know what? You got to have – I mean, with Armani down, and when it comes to the rush game, you got to have him every week. I mean, there's other guys that can pick up the slack, but those are two very special guys, you know, when it comes to running the ball, right? So when half of that horse is, you know, half of that double-headed horse is down, you know, you need the other one to be there. So, you know, we need Lex. We need him to come out and play really well, but we got to start up front by opening holes up. Got to do a great job of perimeter blocking and getting him into space. So, you know, if we're going to be successful down the stretch, we're going to need that to happen.
All right, we're getting our first arrival of food today. You have to forgive me, I'm a play-by-play guy. It's my nature.
Before we got on the radio.
Yeah, I got my order in quick. I knew what I wanted.
Here come the fries, blowing inside. So let me ask you, Caleb, as a former player, when did you get a sense for the energy, overall level of energy of the team around you for any given day? Was it when you run out of the tunnel? Is it something to do early in the game?
You know what? There's different situations. I think sometimes coming out of the tunnel, you can feel it. You can feel it in a locker room where it's like there's a steady buzz where everybody's kind of anticipating playing. Or there's sometimes you feel where everybody just feels tired and it's going to take something in the game to get everybody going. I think last week you looked at it out of the gate. It seemed like the team, like Coach said, was taking it personal, that they didn't have the effort and the enthusiasm that they should have, so they came out of the gate with it. So you can see it was palpable. It didn't take somebody making a big play. Yeah, Alexis' run helped because everybody got fired up about it. Some of the plays that happened helped out a bit, but I mean, it's one of those things where when you're playing the game, you don't know what exactly is going to do it, but you know when you feel it. And when it's there, it's something that you can feed off of, and when it's not, it definitely can sap your drive.
Rebels scored first. They're up 7-0. They went down 14-7, but you know, because it looked like the team was making some pretty good stops on defense for a while. But then they did give up some big plays, and it seemed, Coach, like there was a span of right about 4 minutes where the things began to spiral.
Yeah, so I mean, literally, it was a back and forth game. You know, where you know we'd been moving the ball too. We kept flipping the field on them. And we had a 14-7 game, and one of our defensive linemen jumped off sides, and the corner stopped on the play. So he sees the hanky go up, and that D lineman who jumped off sides didn't make contact, so it's a free play. They're not going to blow it dead. Didn't make contact, tried to jump back. They snapped it when he's in the neutral zone, and everybody else kept playing except that D tackle in the corner stopped too, and that was a freebie 80-yard touchdown. And that's just, you know, it's something that's funny because that's one of the things we have on offense, right? Everybody does. We practice it. You go over it and over it, and it was just, I mean, literally it was a mental breakdown completely. So they got a free 80-yard touchdown off of that, and then they go ahead and, you know, kick the ball off to us, and you know, we throw a pick. I mean, we got a drop end, and you know, don't see him, and throw a pick on the sideline, turns into a touchdown, and we get the ball back, and they end up blocking the punt for a touchdown. So literally, I want to say there was like 22 seconds left in the first quarter when that first play happened, and then with 13 something left in the second quarter, all of a sudden you go from a 14-7 game to a 35-7 game.
So talking about specific that pick Max threw, because I've thrown that pick before. Where you're trying to get it up and over the defender. What do you say to him because he's trying? I see the throw he's trying to make. You see what he's trying to do with it. What do you say to him when he comes up on side?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, if it's a bang-bang throw, you know, you're dropping, you're hitting your back step and throwing it, those things can happen. But he was already moving. He was scrambling. So once you pushed out of the pocket, you don't need to make that play. Just throw the ball. I mean, you're sitting there at first down. Throw it out of bounds. You know what I'm saying? Throw it out of bounds or tuck it and run, get 2 or 3 yards. That's part of managing the game and not pressing. I mean, again, especially at that time, that was pretty crucial. So, again, he settled down. He got better. But, the situation we're in right now, you're playing against a team that's playing as good as anybody in the Mountain West right now. You know, Love is running a great operation over there, you know, at quarterback. They're doing a really, really good job. So you can't give them freebies like that. So, again, you got to be smart, live to fight another day on that.
And what the corner did on that free play, Coach, how much of that is lack of experience?
It is. I mean, you know, again, he's a sophomore out there. You know, he played. He was a guy who transferred over from Arizona State, and you know, and he got some special teams experience, little corner. And yeah, it can be lack of experience, but you know, at the same time, you know, you got to know, you got to remember, you got to take practice to the field. You got to take those things to the field. So our job as coaches is to make sure we prepare them, and then we got to make sure it translates and transfers over.
On plays like that and other plays, how do you feel about Utah State as an offense? Were they as good as advertised? I mean, they seem like a well-oiled machine. Maybe not as talented as, you know, maybe a little bit that way, but in terms of execution and soundness and doing their game plan, what would you say about them coming out of that game?
Well, I tell you what, there's a couple things we knew about them, and it was really solidified. Number one, their offensive line, you know, they returned all five guys. You know, I believe 3 of the 5 or maybe 4 of the 5 are seniors. So they're a group that went 6-7 last year, you know, 6-6 in regular season, and you know, all of a sudden now they're looking like they're playing the best football in the Mountain West. But it really comes down to quarterback play. I don't care. You look at the NFL, you look at college, you look at any level of football. You know, you can go. I mean, look at the Packers a couple years ago. They lose Aaron Rodgers early, and there goes the season. You know, David Carr with the Raiders are rolling. All of a sudden, he goes down. You know, and it, you know, you lose a guy there, it becomes really tough. On the flip side, you have the right guy there, and then you surround him with the right type of pieces. You play well up front. The defense, they do enough. They fly around. They're number 10 on defense, a special guy.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
He was a transfer from TCU, sat out last year, and he's a pretty special player. But you know, I mean, they're doing a really, really good job of playing good football. They don't turn it over. They run the ball with efficiency. Again, everything on that offense goes through Love. I mean, when you're throwing the ball like that, and he's got such great poise. I mean, he needs to tuck and pick up 3 or 4 and slide. He does that. And,
right.
You know,
right.
He's just very, very patient about his game.
Best team in the conference that you – would you say that at
this
point?
Well, we've played so far. I mean, obviously, you know, you haven't seen, you know, the Fresno's yet in San Diego State. You know, we haven't, you know, experienced, you know, Air Force yet. And Air Force took San Diego State all the way to the wire last week. And, you know, obviously we won't see Boise on the other side this year. So it'll all play itself out. But, you know, from the last couple of years of being in the Mountain West, I would say that's as efficient as the team that we've gone against.
Now, you mentioned Lexington. Thankfully, he's cleared to play. You hear the term concussion protocol a lot, something that we never used to hear, but the last few years you're hearing it more. For the benefit of those who are uninitiated, what are some of the stages of that? What happens?
Well, some of the basic stuff is preseason. During camp, you know, you come on in, you do a baseline test. It's kind of a read and reaction test, you know, inside a computer lab. Obviously, they're going to look for a dilation of eyes, they're going to look for focus, and they're going to look for balance and all those things. So initially when that happens on the sidelines, they're looking for all those symptoms. Although, you know, obviously, you can't do the computer test, but you're looking for equilibrium, you're looking for focus, you're looking for dilation of the eyes, things like that. He was clear on the sideline as far as, okay, he looks really good, which was a good thing. Had that been off, you know, that could have set him back a couple of days. Then when we get back in on Sunday, he comes on in, does the test. This test was actually higher than his initial test, which showed that, okay, he's got a good baseline. But now you still can regress. You may have had a head injury where you look good one day, but then you take a couple steps back the next. So the trainers went out there on Monday with him and, you know, moved him around a little bit, kind of got him lathering up, not too much, and then tested him. And, again, he was still above board. So as long as you have consecutive days above board on all those tests, again, equilibrium, you know, your eye dilation, sunlight's not bothering you, noise isn't bothering you, and then those tests that you take, you know, the read and reaction stuff, as long as that's on point, it shows that you've got good function going.
In this day and age, is it one of those things now that the head coach is just out of that?
Like, totally
once,
it's
like the head injury starts, it's all medical, it's up to them, whatever they do?
Yeah, you might complain about the ankle injury once in a while, but you're not the head injuries, you know, it's just it is what it is, and it's probably a good thing,
right,
you know, nowadays.
Right.
Once they say, hey, it's concussion protocol, you don't even ask. It's like, all right, well, let us know what's going on, you know, and you let them do their deal, and it's really on the player to do a really good job of communicating. I think a lot of injuries, you know, you got to have a mature player so the player can not over-exaggerate it and not under-exaggerate it. They
right.
just be very truthful and poignant, and that's the relationship built between the players and the trainers, and then the trust in the coaches that they're going to take care of you all at the same time, too. So if you have that, you have a chance to make sure the players are healthy, number one, and number two, get back in a timely manner, if at all possible.
Latest on Armani Rogers.
Yeah, so he went back in for a checkup this week, and, you know, he still has a couple more weeks till his next checkup, and, you know, nothing's stable enough right now for him even to attempt to come back or anything. So we'll see. I mean, initially we said it's going to be, you know, it looks like, you know, 6 to 8, 9 weeks, somewhere in there. Again, hopefully it ends up being shorter. It could be the duration of the season. It's just it's what you're dealing with, and you just move on.
Swelling's gone down, though.
It is. Swelling's gone down. He looks good, but again, it's more of a structural deal inside the toe.
Yeah, let's talk as we're on the subject right now. You're a wide receiver.
Yep.
New Mexico State, Laney College, a couple of years each. As you're walking in today, you're talking about some of the injuries you've had with knee and ankle and all that jazz. What was the worst injury you sustained?
I just torn ligaments in my ankle. That was the worst one. You know, I was very lucky, knock on wood, I'll probably do it walking out of here tonight. But no, I never had an ACL, you know, never had, you know.
Good block for you.
Yeah, a couple broken, you know, yeah, fractured finger, you know, broken toe, things like that. But nothing, I mean, you know, back then, we it was a different deal.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. You might have had some injuries that
I would never
unnoted.
Have the kids. I mean, back then, it was like, all right, cortisone shot, roll, and just you just went. And,
get
you know,
out there,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we never missed. But, I mean, it probably wasn't the best thing, you know. But, yeah, that was kind of it with me, hamstrings, things like that.
I think with Caleb, there's such a thing as carb protocol. He may have it after this bucket of fries
here. Yeah, we're good. We reached the limit here with this one.
And what about you?
My worst injury, thankfully, I never had any broken bones, never anything in my lower extremities. So it was like everything was up. But sublux is what they call it, sublux shoulder. They didn't call it dislocated because it popped itself back in before.
Uh-huh.
But so it came out temporarily and went back in. That was the worst, and it was on my throwing arm. That's the one that I still feel today. Like, if I sleep awkwardly or if I'm in a weird position, I'll feel it clicking a little bit, but that's probably the worst one. I mean, some more painful ones, but not that didn't last. I got hit pretty hard a couple of times, so, but other than that, good old sublux shoulder.
We're going to talk about the Air Force, upcoming Air Force game, which is this Friday at 7 o'clock, and it's homecoming, and hopefully the folks who come out and support the Rebels. Is a little odd because it's Friday. A lot of folks go to see the high school games, but hopefully a good crowd will be out there.
Yeah, I think there'll be a good crowd. I know that Rebel basketball is getting ready to do their first practice. They're going to bring a court on out there, you know, to the Sam Boyd. I don't know where they're going to set it up, but I'm going to have to sneak out there and watch them slam dunk it a couple of times and then head back in. But that should be fun for the fans to watch that and then come on in. And, again, hey, Friday night, you know, national TV is on CBS, you know, so we're excited about that. And, and it's a chance for us to get back on track. I mean, it really is. Both teams are kind of sitting there in a weird situation, you know. We played four good games, won two of them, played two tough, bad games the last 2 weeks. We got to find ourselves and get rolling. You do that, you start inching yourself back to that 500 mark. They're the same thing. I mean, you look at all their losses. I don't think they lost a game of more than 5 points, you know. And, won two of them. So they played some pretty good football and just come up short. So I'm sure they're feeling that. So it's going to be a highly competitive game.
We're at the halfway point. So give us a thumbnail synopsis as you look at the team now, the state of the team, offense, defense, special teams.
No, we're different right now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, special teams, there's some areas we're playing well. Obviously, you know, our punter's done a heck of a job. Kick coverage has been good, definitely improved, you know, week to week. Obviously, there's an issue when you give up a block punt. You know, that was a singular, you know, deal where a guy got kind of pulled and turned in, and it's correctable, but it can't happen again. Got to do a better job in our return game, you know. I think, you know, punt return, you know, Tylee Collins is going to get the nod this week. And yeah, it's always tough when you go with the freshman, but we haven't done a good job of just catching the ball. We just need to catch the ball on the field of play. The return is secondary to that, you know. That's got to happen. Defensively, you know, early on, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, which is a good thing. Got to get back to that. Don't know if this is really the week for that based on the offense that they run, but we got to do a good job on first downs, you know, giving ourselves better opportunities and playing the deep ball. We eliminate some of those big plays on the deep ball, we'll be all right. Offensively, we're just kind of reinventing ourselves. You know what I mean? You know, you have Armani, and we're a very run-heavy football team, and, you know, you don't have to have, you know, we've talked a lot about completion percentages and this and that, but, you know, when you got a QB running for 180 yards a game, and, you know, eighth leading rusher in the country, you win that way. A lot of teams win that way. Just, you got to hit some big balls down the field and keep people honest. That's out the window right now. So Max is doing a good job, you know. Obviously, there's creating some more balance. We need our receivers and our skill guys around them. Lex and everybody else to step up and take some of the burden off him. So, I think if we can get better in those other phases and it's not so pointed that, you know, we got to go down and score every drive, you know what I'm saying? Max will settle down a little bit and play some good football. So, eliminate some of the mistakes and just find ourselves, and we'll be all right.
All right, we're going to take our first break in the Tony Sanchez Show. But first, I want to remind you, don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. And the show is brought to you in part by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why we offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Much, much more to come on the Tony Sanchez Show. We'll take this break and return on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And we're at Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, right off of Cimarron. And it's a tremendous place, great food. They're open 24 hours, tremendous atmosphere. And we're here with the Tony Sanchez Show. As we are every Wednesday evening. Rebels are getting ready now to try for their first conference win against a team that also is yet to win in conference, Air Force, although... as Tony pointed out, a tough battle with San Diego State. It was wild. That game was held up by lightning. A lot of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, that, you know, it's hard. I mean, the game's hard enough, but when you have to leave the field and come back, and all, I mean, that takes a toll on both teams. And you'd assume a team like Air Force is probably more equipped to handle stuff like that, just because the mental toughness they build into those guys. You know, I mean, all the basic training stuff they do, and I mean, it's, you know, they do more, a little bit more than just football. But they played really, really well in the game. I mean, sitting back and watching it, I mean, you know, they're in control pretty much the entire night. San Diego State went and scored on their first drive, and then they didn't score another offensive touchdown running down the field until the last drive of the game. San Diego State fumbled a punt, and then the punter picked it up and tried to kick it and ended up getting blocked for a touchdown. That was literally the last play of the half, and that's how they went in the locker room, and that's how San Diego State had the lead, and then Air Force scored at the very end to take the lead back. So they played good football. You know, I mean, they're definitely a team that, you know, if you play well, you can go beat them. But they're not going to be pushover. They're going to come ready to roll.
So that game was a Friday game. So
yep.
Do you enjoy when there's Friday games like that where you're actually one of those teams is an opponent of yours in the future? You can get in a hotel room wherever you're at. You can just get a chance to watch them all the way through.
It's funny. I do. I love watching them. Teams we're going to play. I just hate when they play on a Friday and we play on a Saturday and they get an extra day to prepare. You know, and it'll be 2 weeks in a row that's happened to us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of funny. I mean, the way they do the scheduling sometimes. But so it'll be 2 weeks in a row the teams had a Friday. You know, Friday game before they play us. And I'm sure they needed it. They're a little banged up too. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see who quarterback plays this week. And I know Hammond, he went down early in the game, and he's done a really good job. And so that extra day will probably help those guys. But, yeah, we enjoy sitting in the hotel watching ball. You don't get a chance to do it a lot on Saturdays because you're always working.
Yeah. So take a chance to let you know something that's becoming a bit of a staple around here on the radio broadcast, that Finley Chevrolet is your home for. Woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. So, I mean, Finley Chevrolet, appreciate that sponsorship. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do on the radio. I think people actually like it, so we'll enjoy that. But, Coach, we want to talk a little bit about some of the things you guys got going on as far as fundraising and things that have been happening in the past. The Rebel Athletic Fund had one big one go on last week, pretty successful. Rebels Give, that was pretty much the open campus donation. How did that go?
It's good. I mean, so the Rebel Athletic Fund, the Drive for Five, start off early in the summer, which is a really good thing. Desiree's done a really good job of promoting that, and every one of our head coaches and the overwhelming majority of our assistants are, a member of that, and that's really helped athletics. And then, the Rebels Give, what a great day. I mean, the amount of money that was given was phenomenal for all the different departments on campus, so you could give to whatever. You could give to football. You could give to the hotel college. You could give to, you name it, whatever it was that was your interest, you could give to, and people came out and drove. So it's so good to see. It's funny sometimes people forget what a young university we are. We're just so young, and I believe we're going into this year 61, right? Yes, last year was 60, so 61, and you go and you play some of these schools like Utah State. It's been around for over 100 years and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's a lot of endowed money. There's a lot of gifts that have been given over a long period of time. They got an extra 50, 60, 70 years of alumni on us and stuff like that. So it's important that we engage the community and engage people with things like that. So not only do they give to make an impact, but it also engages them in what's going on at UNLV and being a big part of it.
Speaking about what's going on, I know you see it every day. It's right outside your office. One of the big things that everybody gets a chance to see whenever they do one of these releases on social media is the Fertitta Complex that's shooting up like crazy. How's that coming along?
Those guys are doing a tremendous job. Whiting Turner's just taking that thing and run, and that thing is just coming out of the ground. You see the entire footprint now. You see the second floor in the majority of the building, and it's really exciting to see. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went in getting that thing done. So it's definitely going to be a catalyst for Rebel football.
Coach, if you could have played for any NFL team, what would have been?
The Raiders. Yeah, I grew up in the Bay Area.
Quick.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
Yeah, I'm a Bay Area guy. Lester Hayes was the first guy that I fell in love with. I love Lester Hayes, And then as I got older, Tim Brown became my guy, and that's why I wore 81 my entire career. I had my cool 81 gold chain.
Oh, my goodness.
Love Tim Brown and Bo Jackson. come on now. Oh. One of the great athletes in the history of the world, Heck, in any age, he would have been the best at whatever he wanted to do. So, I love the old Raiders. And, just the old – my dad was a Oakland cop, so the stories that I can't repeat on the radio that he used to tell me about those guys were just legendary.
One of my favorite TV ads had Bo Jackson, the Let's Do It.
Yeah.
When they show him playing baseball and Bo knows, and football, Bo knows. Then they have him shooting hoops, Bo knows. He's hitting the tennis ball, Bo knows. On the golf course, Bo knows. Then the last scene, he's on the hockey – on the rink, he's on the ice trying to maneuver the puck, and they show a close-up of Wayne Gretzky, and he goes, no.
You're right. But if he would have worked hard, he probably could have done that, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny with Bo. I just, got it. I think all dads out there should just show him the documentaries on him so they don't forget. I remember showing my son, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, hey, let me just show you this. And he was mesmerized by the end of it. Just like, wow, this guy did all that. And, just a legendary track athlete in high school and baseball, calling the timeout, hitting it over the fence.
Yeah.
And, all-star in both sports. Yeah, he was fun to watch growing up.
I don't think we'll see another athlete like him, because the way sports are going now, there's so many more specialists. There's kids that start at a young age that you're a baseball player, you're a basketball player, you play football. Back then, it was like you play everything. Whatever you can get your hands on, go out there and play.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see another Bo Jackson type athlete come up the rank, at least not that high level of
no,
an athlete.
No, I mean, people forget, too, Deion Sanders played both and was tremendous. You know, this, the thing that's a shame about it, too, when it comes to youth sports, is I think people are spending way too much time on one and the wear and tear it puts on your body. Because, you know, it was when we were growing up, you went from one sport to the next, when you played football, played basketball, you know, baseball, just or whatever your deal was, right? But certain joints didn't get the year-round grind and wear. Like football, some of this youth football, it's like they play year-round. They play a fall and a spring. Football was never meant to be a year-round sport. I don't think it's good or healthy for the kids. I never let my kid do that, you know. And so, again, you know, you look at pitchers and the amount of injuries they're getting in your shoulders. And, I mean, it's just at such a higher rate because they're throwing year-round. It's club baseball. It's year-round. I mean, at some point, you got to give the guys a little break. Keep them competing. Don't let them sit on the couch. Too many video games ain't good either, you know. Yeah. But there's a lot of things you can do to build competitiveness.
Well, you talk about Bo Jackson and everything. And it just, if you look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of individual. If you look back at the last 100 years, first half of the 20th century, Jim Thorpe. Second half of the 20th century, Bo Jackson. I mean, you mentioned Deion, but really, who else?
Yeah.
Just tremendous.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one guy that I coached was a first-round draft pick, and Ronnie Stanley played football during football season and basketball during basketball season. In the summertime, we had to split both. He did AAU, and he worked out with us. You know what? And I don't think it hurt him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more people should do it. It makes you more well-rounded as an athlete. There's things that on the basketball court that translate to football. I think the footwork, playing defense. If you're a DB, one of my DB coaches in high school used to say, if you can play basketball, you can guard somebody in basketball, you can play corner, because it's the same kind of thing. Keep them in front of you. Don't rely on your hands. Keep your feet moving, that type of thing. So it's like, I think there's a plus to doing it. Playing soccer, I think, now is one of the things that everybody's doing, getting their kids in soccer, because there's footwork in soccer like you wouldn't believe.
The Dominic Sue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that people don't, you know, think of, because it's been such a foreign sport, you know, football is just making its way over to the States, but now people are throwing their kids in soccer because it builds so many different skills and motor skills for the youth coming up. So I think, yeah, it's good to be a Swiss Army knife.
And because we did touch a little bit on a historical angle, we'll have the historical nugget of the night brought to you by Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. All right. When he was in college as a running back, Jim Thorpe for Carlisle, they're playing West Point, and he broke off a big run. One of the West Point defensive players took a run at him, flew through the air to try to get him, missed him, and badly wrenched his knee and basically ended his own playing career. That player, a guy named Dwight Eisenhower, went on to be president of the United States for two terms.
Oh, man. Wow.
There you go.
And you can't get this stuff anywhere else, folks.
I would like to let everybody know that Russ doesn't have a piece of paper in front of him. He didn't look that up on a cell phone. That came off the top of his head. I tell you, that's a fountain of wisdom sitting across from me right now. Russ Langer. Appreciate it, man. That was
thank you,
kid. I'll get there.
The check cleared, so you're okay. Appreciate it. All right. No, thanks. We are going to take our next break in the Tony Sanchez Show, come back with a lot more. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, as the Tony Sanchez Show soldiers on, along with Caleb Herring and the head coach Tony Sanchez of the UNLV Rebels. I'm Russ Langer. Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. If there were no TVs here and no gaming possibilities or anything, this would still be a great place to eat. The food is extremely good, and it's open 24 hours. But you have that plus everything else they offer. Great food, great service, great folks here. So come on by, and they have a location in Henderson as well. So we're here with the Tony Sanchez Show. We've discussed the Utah State game. We're going to move on to the Air Force game a little bit. But Caleb, I want to ask you what I asked Tony, which is, you know, you played multiple positions. If you could have played for any NFL team, who would have been?
I didn't have a favorite team growing up other than the Rams. That was kind of forced on me, being from L.A., the L.A. area. But I wouldn't say that it would be a team. It would be a coach. I'd want to play for Sean Payton. I think that would be my number one thing. I don't know. I guess I would say the Saints would be the team. But I think he's one of my favorite coaches to watch, just the way he interacts. Maybe it's just because it's Drew Brees and the greatness that they've established over such a long time. But watching the way they interact as a quarterback to coach pair – I think that would be the best coach to play for in the NFL level. So that would be my answer, I guess.
Did you have a NFL coach, Tony, that you admired in particular, or a couple of them?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, God doing what we do. I mean, there's so many you look at and go like, wow. I mean, to me, I always liked some of the older guys. I mean, I always grew up and loved all the legends. I mean, I love reading the books on Lombardi and, you know, I mean, it's not even just football. I mean, you know, and it's kind of cliche, everybody does, but Lombardi and the Woodens and, I mean, just, you know, Herb Brooks and you read, I mean, just, you know, it's hard to even do what he did in this day and age. People are too sensitive, you know, and I get it, but what a genius coaching job he did, you know, and how he got the guys to rally with each other. And so you love reading that stuff. You know, nowadays there's some really, really good guys out there, man. What they're doing at the Rams right now, wow. Pretty impressive. You know what, the mastermind of them all, man, to me is Belichick, because what he does, the way he not only drafts but then brings in older guys towards the end of their career and reinvigorates them for a year or two to kind of keep it going in that direction, just enough guys. He surrounds himself with the special dudes, and, I mean, how many years we've been talking about him now, 12, 13, 14? I mean, they just keep on going in so many different faces and names, and they do a great job of bringing guys in and, you know, reinventing them and holding them to a standard.
I think he's like the total opposite of what you think from a guy that you motivates people and brings the best out of them, like late in their career, because he doesn't seem like one of those rah-rah, get in your face, all excited type of guys. He just does it the Bill way. And it's one of the unique things to watch him do it that way, and then all of a sudden guys are coming in and reinvigorating their career, like you said.
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive.
All right. Speaking of NFL coaches, got a question here. Bill Cowher, when he coached the Steelers, once was so happy with Cordell Stewart, he gave him a kiss. It was right on the TV. Have you ever been happy enough? You ever reached a level of adulation, coach, where you felt like doing that to a player?
Well, if I did, I didn't. So, no, you know what, though? That's the great thing about sports. It's the emotion that goes into it. I mean, you work so hard for a common goal. So many times, you can get let down by this and let down by that. But when you have that magic flowing and good things are happening, it's fun, and you get those spontaneous moments like that. And I remember that shot, you know, watching that. And you just had to laugh, you know. I mean, that was great. You know, that was great, and that's what makes sports so fun—the relationships you build with the players.
Caleb,
I never wanted to kiss my coach. No,
no, but here's a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you rather be kissed by Bobby Houck or tackled by Taulo Tulele?
Jeez. That's probably the toughest question I've ever
been
asked.
You want to go back to the Finley spot? You can always do that.
No, Tao. I'd take Tao.
Oh, you would take Tao.
Bring it. No.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was one of the hardest hitters on our
team. That's why I brought it up.
I mean, his brother wasn't a joke either. I mean, Tiny. John, excuse me. They both get hit really hard. So, but no, I think I'd take a hit from Tao.
All right. Brett Favre was asked about his most embarrassing moment as a player, and he said he'd eaten beans the night before a game, and he paid the price for it in the huddle. And he said it was really awful.
Right.
But he said it might have helped them win the game. What was your most embarrassing moment?
So my first year starting at UNLV, national TV game. It was against Wisconsin. I lined up under the wrong lineman. So I was under the right guard, and I had to center turn around, and he looked at me, wrong guy. And it was one of the most embarrassing, because national TV, I'm not sure if they caught it on camera, but it felt embarrassing to have to like adjust and get to the right offensive line, get behind my center instead of the right guard. That's probably my most embarrassing that I can remember off the top of my head.
Best moment.
It's a toss up between beating Air Force to get bowl eligible in that cold weather, and senior night against San Diego State. I threw 5 touchdowns that day. My whole family was out there, and it was like the end of my senior year, and it just felt really good to finish at least the regular season on that note, with probably my best game. I just felt like totally in command. Not even about the stats, but I just felt in command of everything that was going on. It was like a full circle moment where I was like, I got this. The football's clicking for me. It's good. So, I mean, that was probably my shining moment. But other than that, the Air Force game, because we celebrated like – we forgot it was -7 out there, so we celebrated for a while, and then it was great to celebrate with the seniors, and we took a great picture. The receivers, Coach Kamir, was in that picture, and we took and we celebrated that like nothing else, because we it had been so long since we had anything to feel good about at UNLV, and that was one of the best feelings in football.
Coach, when you played, was there ever a time when you really felt like you wanted to play a different position than wide receiver?
Honestly, no. I mean, I early on, you kind of play a bunch of different things, tight end, you know, play linebacker and this and that. But by the time I was freshman in high school all the way through, you know, I was always a corner and a wide out, and, you know, and I just kind of what I was, you know, center fielder in baseball and did those things. And all the way through, that's just kind of my spot.
You played a bunch of positions, Caleb. Any position you didn't play that you would have wanted to play?
No, I think I covered all the bases. I mean, I played running back when I started off in youth football, and before I hit my growth spurt. Then once I shot up, they gave me a shot at quarterback, and it worked out. And then switched over to receiver for a spell, and it was fun while it lasted. But I knew where my home was, is in the pocket. So I got back there, and I think I was fulfilled enough as a football player position. I don't think I could have made it anywhere else anyway. Playing lineman or something, I don't think I could have made it.
You wouldn't look as good, that's for sure.
Indeed. All right, we'll take our next break on the Tony Sanchez Show. But first, want to let you know that the new 2019 Toyotas have arrived at Findlay Toyota. Come see them today. Findlay Toyota is the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. For the best selection and the best price, it's Findlay Toyota. We'll take a break and come back with a lot more on the Tony Sanchez Show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Come into Findlay Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Both teams looking for their first conference victory this Friday, 7 o'clock at Sam Boyd on homecoming. Head coach Tony Sanchez here along with Caleb Herring. Coach, let's give a little bit of an update on your feelings about Max Gillum. It looked like he held onto the ball too long at times, this Utah State game. But overall, how's he doing?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, that was one of the things. You know, we gave up 7 sacks in the game, and half, about 4 of them were probably balls that could have been, you know, delivered on time. And he's got to get that clock going in his head. You know, the protection is going to be there, but it's only going to be there for so long. So on some of those route combinations, you got to hit that back foot and get rid of it. And early down in distances, nothing wrong with throwing the ball away. So if we do that, that'll be better. But, you know, he did good. Again, as the game went on, he had some good, solid runs. You know, he did a really good job extending at times, got out of the pocket, flushed himself a couple. You know, threw the deep ball well. You know, got the ball to Ty Leak deep a couple of times. So he's just got to continue to do it. Some of the RPO stuff looked really good. The touchdown he threw to Darren Woods a couple times, you know, getting the ball the last 2 weeks, actually, you know, later in the game. So those RPOs is kind of his wheelhouse there. This week, I'm sure we're going to get some quick game opportunities. We're going to get some vertical opportunities. They're a very heavy pressure team. They blitz. They love to load the box. It's one of the reasons they're such a good run-stop defense, is they really, really commit to it and take their chances in the back end. So Max is going to have to play well.
So about the quick game, I noticed the first week Max played against New Mexico, the quick game, the bubble screens, they tried to get there. It was a little sloppy the first week. Second week improved a lot. I think it had some good success on the bubble screens and the receivers downfield also blocking on the edges.
Yeah, we've done a really good job the last couple of weeks with, you know, perimeter drill and practice, just adding the level of competitiveness to it that you need to have. You know, Ty Leak took one of those jailbreak screens and turned it into a nice play, almost went the distance. Throwing the ball in the flats to the backs looked a lot better last week. So, you know, those are things that are just, you know, they're easy run and catch deals that we have to be able to execute to move the ball.
Javen White earlier this week talked about how well-disciplined Air Force is, and you basically know what to expect from them.
Yeah, you know, whenever you play the academies, you know you're going to play a hard-nosed, tough football team that's extremely disciplined. I mean, their whole lives are based about getting up on time, being dressed the right way, being where they're supposed to be. I mean, you know, again, when they get done, they go on to something pretty special. So we respect the heck out of them and what they do, and then the sacrifices they made for this country moving forward. So they're a very, very disciplined football team, so we got to be ready for that.
So the more you prep for them, I mean, does the game plan change much year to year? I mean, it's pretty much the same kind of style of coming. Do you see a need to switch it up defensively to kind of adjust your game plan, even though their system has been the same since forever?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things. Number one, you look a little bit at what we did in the first half last year that was so successful, but then also, you know, the adjustments that they made and how they counteracted that. Obviously, with Skip coming in, he's got a mindset and some things he wants to get done. And the one thing they're doing that's a little bit different is that they're getting in some non-traditional sets. They throw the ball a little bit more. Now, we'll see how they handle that with the quarterback deal, but you'll see a little bit more toss sweep involved. You'll see a little bit more fly, you know, just getting the ball to the perimeter. So they do a little bit more of that than maybe they did, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So you got to be ready for all that stuff. And then I know offensively, you know, last year they did ran a lot of 40 fronts against. They were an even front. This year it's pretty much all odd, you know. So, you know, how are they going to – I mean, I think they're more comfortable in an odd this year. They got a really stout nose guard, about 315 pounds, big squat body. So it'll be interesting. Right away we'll find out how they plan on attacking us. So it's going to be us, you know, just all right, how they're going to, you know, punch, and then you got to counterpunch.
So the last few weeks, there's actually – I was noticing this. There's a lot of odd fronts that you guys have been facing defensively. How does that change your game plan as far as attacking an odd front? I mean, a lot of zone, I'm assuming it really doesn't affect it much because it's blocked the guy in your gap. But how does that affect the game plan, especially in the running game, for you guys offensively?
Yeah, so when we're running our gap scheme system stuff, it definitely changes calls, changes overloads, looks. So the center's got to do a really good job identifying the mic and just getting us into the right, you know, into the right adjustments on that stuff. And you're right, this will be, what, 3 weeks in a row we've gone against a team that's been, you know, an odd front. Actually, 4 weeks in a row,
yeah,
right? There's
yeah.
been an odd front team. So, again, we've seen it. You know, Barney does such a good job in Garen Justice of setting that run game. I mean, Barney's been around so long, he can make quick adjustments, but it's just about the guys on the field making sure that they're up to speed on it as well.
Hammond is out with an injury, so they're going to Isaiah Sanders. What sort of a skill set does he bring as a quarterback for Air Force?
Well, they've played three different guys this year. You know, the guy that started the year, I don't really know what's happened. I mean, I just, you know, read an article that, you know, he's going to probably be playing baseball now too or something. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting what happened to him. I'm not really sure. Hammond came in and did a really, really good job. And I saw he's questionable, so until we see him on the field, we don't ever assume, you know. Mm. They're always hiding guys and doing different things.
Yeah.
You know, the next gentleman you brought up, number four, when he comes in, you know, again, you know, he'll be better this week than he was last week because he'll have a full week of prep. He'll have a full, you know, kind of like our guy. You know, once you know you're the starter and you prep for it, especially in that system, it makes a big, big difference. So we're just going to have to see kind of what they give us and how he reacts and how – and really measure how comfortable are they throwing the ball with him. That'll be the big thing. That's kind of a wild card. Does this guy throw the ball more? Does he throw it less? Are they going to be more of the triple team? What are they going to do with him?
So the secondary in these games I always found is important, and a lot of people are probably like, what, the secondary? They don't throw the ball ever. But having DBs and corners and safeties that are willing to come down in the run game is especially important against a team like Air Force because all 11 have to be willing to tackle and get involved.
There's no doubt. I mean, if you don't got some moxie to you, you can't play in this game. You know, it's not about being pretty. You better get downhill. And you better put your pads on their pads because, you know, they're going to run the ball a bunch of times. You know, and the biggest thing is not falling asleep. You know, I mean, that guy, man, it kills. I remember last year we're sitting there, and I believe it was a 3rd and 18, you know, and, you know, late in that game, and, you know, they converted that thing on a play-action pass, so you cannot fall asleep. So you have to be heavily involved and committed to stopping the run game in the secondary, but you got to read your keys. You can't fall asleep on them.
Cole Fagan and Caden Remsburg were two of the top running backs on that team. What do you see when you look at them?
Just hard-nosed guys. I mean, you know, they're just – you know, they're talented, you know. I mean, there's nothing overly crazy about them. You know, not overly twitchy, but they're hard-nosed, you know, one-step cutters, get downhill. And the one thing they do is they finish the runs. Every one of those guys from the fullback all the way through, you know, they're going to put their nose on you.
The team hasn't had a sack the last two games. Part of it, I guess, is New Mexico was very run-heavy. But, of course, Jordan Love threw a lot last week.
He did, but he gets rid of the ball fast. I mean, they hit most of their stuff is quick game stuff too, RPO type stuff. So RPOs is tough to get sacks against. Not many people, even against us, you know, not a lot of sacks on the RPOs, those run pass option plays. And I'll be honest with you, they're pretty good too. They got to give them credit. They blocked our guys, did a good job. I think they're number two or number three in less sacks given up in the nation this year.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So they do a pretty good job protecting them against everybody. And then, you know, unfortunately, they did a really good job against us as well.
All right. They also, obviously, we need to touch on their defense because they have been exceptionally tough against the run.
Yeah, no, I mean, Air Force, I mean, they buzz. I mean, you look at what they did to San Diego State, holding them to 80-some-odd yards, and most of those yards, it's crazy when you watch it on film, though, 50% of the yards came on the first and last drive of the game. You know, so they really didn't run the ball at all in the second half. Now, it was a wet field, it was lightning, there was delays, things like that, so it was hard for them to get the rhythm. San Diego State's dealing with, you know, a back being down right now, not having their starting quarterback, too. But you got to give those guys a lot of credit. When you watch them on film, the one thing is inside the box, I mean, it's crazy when you count numbers. I mean, it's 7, is it 8? Oh, crap, there's 9. You know, I mean, they load that box. Well, I mean, they're going to really – they'll lower those safeties into the box. So, to me, you know, you got to soften them up, man. You better be able to throw the ball down the field a little bit.
So, traditionally, the academy doesn't have the size up front that most schools have, and it's in part because of the way, you know, what – else outside of football goes on there. They just can't have the big beefy guys up front. Does that give you at all an advantage when it comes to the trenches, or do they make up for it with the number count, how many people they put down there?
Well, that's the biggest thing. They're going to go ahead and they're going to make up for that by, you know, just committing more guys to the box. It's interesting though. I mean, both the tackles are about 270 pounds, 275 pounds. So they're big guys, right? But their nose tackle this year is kind of a little bit bigger than normal. He's about a little like 315, something like that. So normally you don't see that big of a guy in there, you know. So you must be driving a tank or something. You know, they have those, right?
Yeah, specialty post.
Exactly. So, but no, they play fast. They move around. I mean, all those academies are kind of like that. You know, they don't have those traditional big 6'4", 300-plus pound dudes. But the guys they have usually have good feet. They usually move above average, you know. So those will be some of the challenges.
And I would guess there's extra motivating factor because perhaps the toughest loss the Rebels had last year was at Air Force. They're up 27-0, and the game somehow got away.
Yeah, no, we definitely remember that. You know, you don't even have to bring it up. The guys know about that. I mean, that was, when at the end of the year when you're looking back and, you know, there's a couple you looked at and, hey, we just had to have one of them to get ourselves in the postseason. That was a tough game, but it speaks to the character of the cadets and what they do and how they're just going to keep on fighting, how you got to keep on executing, you know. We had plenty of opportunities in that one. I mean, we fumbled the ball into the end zone. They recovered, gave down. You know, I mean, they scored with, what, 2.5 minutes left in the game. I mean, there was so many, that 3rd and 18 I talked about. So, again, it's, you know, a lot of little things that add up to big things.
Discuss, if you would, before we take our final break, the process of Kenyon Oblad week to week familiarizing himself with the system and as at the stages in which that goes.
Yeah, you know, he's a freshman like they are all around the country, just, you know, just getting more familiar with the system, getting more comfortable managing his teammates and getting the calls in and just, you know, reading and reacting and just doing all the, you know, there's a lot that goes into being a quarterback. I tell you what, I'd argue with anybody that said there's a different, tougher position in all of sports. I mean, the physical deal you have to take on, the mental part of it, getting there, I mean, everything is on you to set it right. I mean, there's nothing like it in sports, in any sport. So he's progressing and coming along, and I tell you what, man, you know, his time will come, and he's a hell of a football player.
All right, we'll take our final break in the Tony Sanchez Show, but first, for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives, come to Findlay Toyota. Back with our remaining moments at Head Coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring, yours truly, Russ Langer. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Findlay Toyota invites you to experience the price point of a used car with all the benefits that come with a new Toyota. Ask us about certified pre-owned Toyotas today. Final moments here with Head Coach Tony Sanchez. Caleb, what do you expect on Friday?
I expect some fun. I expect, I'm excited about Ty Lee Collins. Coach mentioned getting a little bit more of a nod to see him in space. Excited about the Rebels getting their first win. Max Gillum and first conference win. Max Gillum getting his rhythm. I think he's showing what he can do as a passer. Once he figures it out, I think he'll be all right. He'll finish the season or however long he's needed. But I think Rebel football has a chance this Friday to get back to some winning, and it'll be good to do it on Friday against Air Force.
Coach, final word.
We're excited. Same thing, you know, Caleb just said. You know, we got to get ourselves in the win column in conference, got to get ourselves feeling good about ourselves and moving on from there. But tough task Friday, but we're excited about it. Can't wait to go.
See you Friday.
We'll see you.
Caleb, we'll see you.
See you there.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. You've been listening to the Tony Sanchez Show on UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. The preceding has been a